Sports Radio 99 The Game. Welcome into the experience. Sunday evening, 7:01 p.m. with you for the next 115 minutes, somewhere around there, almost 2 hours. How about that? I was told there would be no math. Phone number 404-726-0929. Feel free to, oh my goodness gracious, feel free to shoot a text to us on the text line. You can also give me a call at that same very phone number, 404-726-0929. Call that number. You're not going to find me, but you're going to find Garrett Chapman. He is on the other side of the glass from me right now. G-Chap, dude, just got off the road from Charlotte right before from the Diamond. And glad to have you work with me this evening, Garrett. It's been a while. How you doing, man?
Hey, man, I'm living the dream, dude. Life's good.
Heard
things
that.
Things are going great. You know, I mean, it's things are wonderful. But no, literally, I'm coming down to 85 South, coming down from the Charlotte area. Went to a wedding over the weekend, and we hit traffic, and I started panicking. It was right over there by the 316 exit, you know, when you go out to Athens. And it was a bad accident. You know, I thought we were making really good time, and then I just see that time keep creeping up and up and up and up. So we made it in time, no harm, no foul. We were able to get everything rolling.
Yeah, it's probably a great thing. Well, most you know, weekends things are a little bit differently. Most of us pretty much plot out our entire show. You know, and the stuff we need from the producer on the other side is very minimal, and Grant's probably the one above everybody that comes prepackaged, and if he needs you to do something for him, it's going to be probably the most minimal of us all because he has all his stuff together and ready and knows exactly what he's going to talk about. So welcome back from Charlotte. How'd that go? ACC Media Days, right? Is that what you're up there for all week?
So I was there for ACC Media Days on Tuesday and Wednesday for Georgia Tech's Brent Key and Eric Haynes King company. They were all up there. Drove back for training camp up at Flowery Branch, was there, and then flipped around and drove all the way back up for a wedding.
It's been a lot of driving. Yeah, man, that is a lot of driving.
Yeah. I was doing the math in my head while my fiance was taking a nap in the passenger seat. It was like well over 24 hours of driving, I would say, that I've done in the last last week or so, which is a nuts amount of driving.
So how was the wedding? Wedding was yesterday?
It was last night. It was fantastic. It was, and look, we were up on the side of a mountain, so I was spending some time in Boone, North Carolina. I was texting Andy Bunker.
Yeah, he knows Boone well.
He was giving me a lot of recommendations, places to go, and things to do, things to drink, and we had a great time. It's beautiful up there. The mountains are fantastic.
Got into a conversation yesterday about scenic baseball parks. I'm not sure what even started it, and the App State baseball park or field came up because it is maybe one of the most majestic-looking baseball views as far as a baseball field goes. The App State baseball complex is thrown right down in the middle of a mountain range. Like, it is a mountain range, but it's like
a forest.
Yeah, it's like it's in a little crop in between some mountains, you know, whatever you call one of those things. But right behind App State's baseball field is just nothing but beautiful freaking mountains. It's one of the most scenic views from a baseball stadium or park that you will probably find in the entire country.
Yeah, it's really pretty. I actually took a second to go over to App State just because.
Nice.
I'm a Georgia Southern grad, so.
Sure, yeah.
I've been up there one other time, many
Sunbelt,
years ago.
Sunbelt, baby.
Yeah, Sunbelt, Funbelt. But it's, at the same time, it is The Rock is what they call their football stadium. Really beautiful. They just did a lot of big expansions up there. They play some good football up there at App State. But no, the baseball field's pretty. It's hard to tell from when you're down like at field level.
Yeah.
It doesn't look all that majestic.
Yeah, because the view that you want to see is the one from way up above.
Yeah, so it's like if you're riding in a helicopter or something, or taking a drone or something. It's really pretty from that way, but it's when you're actually down on the baseball field. Not to be a Debbie Downer or anything about it.
No, see, I've never actually seen that view that you're talking about. I've never actually been to App State at all. I've never even been to Boone,
Boone's cool.
North Carolina.
It's very small.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's all that is there pretty much is App State, right?
It's App State and a lot of goats.
So it's kind of funny. I mentioned the text line, 404-726-0929. One of the funniest things for me, because I actually use it, and, you know, you'll probably find one person per show or one person that uses it, you know, and actually, you know, opens it up. Because let's be honest, a lot of people have given up on using the text line because people are mean. on there. There's not a lot of positivity on there. People are usually just bashing a host or bashing a sports take or bashing a sports figure or you know, one of the people that we love here in Atlanta. One of the fun things to do, though, is look at the last texts that were sent when I open up the text line. And I assume this, so 3 hours ago, that would have been right before Grant. I think that may have been, was that Frickster that was on right before Grant? It was something like that. Not that it matters. But the last message that I see on here, and it's from 3 hours ago, so it's before Grant's show. Italian, Catholic, and Mafia families do the same thing at their weddings. Zero context behind this. I have no idea what the conversation was about. But I'm, oh, wow. So what's being done at weddings? And you just got back from a wedding. Italian, Catholic, and Mafia families do the same thing at their weddings. I want to know what wedding was going on and what they were doing.
That's fascinating.
To so closely resemble a mafia wedding.
I don't know.
But like the range of messages like that, it's
weird things, man.
Really weird. Because with no context of what the conversation was about, we have zero idea why this message was sent or why I want to know what they're doing at these weddings. I don't know that I've ever been to a mafia wedding, so I can't pull from there something that would be different from another wedding that I've gone to. But wow, what a conversation that must have been.
I've had a couple of people like kind of reach out and be like, hey, so-and-so said this on the text line. And it's like, I wonder, doing exactly what you just did, just trying to do like some math there to like look back at the calendar and say, who was on the air at that time? I wonder. But it's always somebody funny who was saying something. Or like Twitter is like that too. You sometimes see people shoot you an at and they say something kind of out of pocket. And it's like, hey,
There is a lot of funny stuff on the text line and we can't interact. And I do whenever I get positive comments. But here on this show, we get a lot more interaction on the text line than anything else, so I always open it because I want to know what people's opinions are, and I'll read your text, and if it's something that we can say on the air or if it's nice, even if it's something mean about me, I'll still read it if it's FCC approved, because I'll take feedback. Honestly, I'm a grown-ass man. So Friday night for me, I was going to go see Fantastic Four, First Steps. And this is we got everybody home. Tara got off work, got everybody home about 6 o'clock. And I went on to the old Fandango app to go look at some shows. And we're thinking about, 7 o'clock. I looked earlier in the day at when some showtimes are at NCG and at, Cine Bistro. Those are the two closest theaters to me. So we're looking at 7:30 window. Not sure what we're going to do for dinner. So that'd be the difference between the two theaters. I go log on to Fandango and that freaking movie minus random just seats in the theater of just one seat, completely sold out. And I was like, wow, people are going to movies. I was glad to see this because we went and saw, what was it that came out last week? It was, I went and saw it. Superman. Superman was almost like that. We went and saw Superman on a Friday or Saturday night, I think. And it was like that. It was hard to see. Tara and I went by ourselves, so we weren't looking for 4 tickets. Yeah, Tara and I saw Superman from the back right corner of a theater, if I'm not mistaken, at NCG over in Peachtree Corners. I'd never sat that off-centered in any movie ever in my life. Back right corner, 2 seats, right by the door where people are coming in and out. Still enjoyed it. I'm still curious. So I did not get to go see Fantastic Four, by the way. So I threw down some food on the Blackstone Friday night, and we watched Happy Gilmore 2. Now, Garrett, have you seen Happy Gilmore 2?
I've seen the first one, and I don't know if I want to watch the second one.
Especially since it's on Netflix already.
I don't know, man.
It was good. It was worth however long it was. Lots and lots of cameos. A good friend, Mark Owens, watched it, I think, Thursday morning, Friday morning, kind of like Abe did. Yeah. Abe comes to the station because he's hosting Steakhouse last week. Hands off,
he crushed
a rundown to Rusty Manziel. So I guess it was Thursday, maybe? One of those days. Hands off a rundown to Rusty. This is at 8 o'clock in the morning. And he's like, here's the rundown, Rusty. I'm going to finish Happy Gilmore 2. This is how much of a movie junkie
he is
that Abe Gordon is.
Cinephile.
Are you kidding me? Like, you couldn't wait till after the show. Nothing against it. Fully prepared for the radio show like Abe always is. Much more than most of us, I might add. Much more than me. But comes in Friday morning and watches the rest of Happy Gilmore 2 in the midday show lounge, which is what we call our little office back there, instead of just waiting until maybe he had stuff to do Friday evening or whatever day it was. And it was good, though. It was Happy Gilmore won had they had a big Hollywood budget, which they did not. Lots of cameos, Travis Kelce, Bad Bunny, to name a few. MJF, if you're a wrestling fan out there, MJF was with Maxwell James Friedman from AEW. Becky Lynch was in there from WWE. There's a spoof kind of live golf thing going on where they, you know, it was good. You should watch it. It was funny. It was pretty well done. Lots of comedic elements to it. Lots of funny stuff. It was worth it. If you already subscribed to Netflix, it's not going to cost you anything extra. Yeah. Check it out because you don't have to go to a theater to see it.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I mean, I just love Happy Gilmore so much. I have a hard time sitting there and stomaching the idea of something just coming out and not being very good. You know, and it's whenever you see sequels that happen that far after the original.
Yeah, yeah.
You always get a little antsy about it. It's like, like
they made it make sense. He's got like these four kids and whatnot. And they're funny. That's who MJF played, was one of his sons. I mean, there's not too much to give away. It's not like, sure. You know.
I mean, it's not exactly a world breaking type of film. It's a movie that you put on and it's just sort of there and you're like, oh,
Shooter McGavin's in it. You know, it was fun. I would watch it again. If you were to come over and say, hey, you want to crack a beer and watch Happy Gilmore too? I'd watch it again. So it was worth watching.
Okay.
But Travis Kelce was great in it. You know, he has a pretty good comedic or acting side to him. You know, so
he's just a funny guy.
Yeah, it was worth it.
He's got a good personality.
Say, look here, from the 404. I love you, Abe. Abe's not even on the radio right now. I will convey your message, though, 404. From the 706, dude, Covenant College and Lookout Mountain. Is Lookout Mountain, is that Chattanooga?
Chattanooga.
Has a soccer stadium on the side of a mountain.
How about that?
And the team is led down by bagpipes?
That's actually pretty cool.
Playing there was my favorite away game. Incredibly beautiful. Wow, 706. Thank you for that tidbit of knowledge.
That's a good
point. So one of the things Tara and I are thinking about doing very soon when we can just have a getaway for a Saturday is go up to Chattanooga and go to the aquarium. I've never been to Lookout Mountain. I've been to Chattanooga a lot. I used to work there with Outback, but I would go up there, go to the three Outbacks that are up there, spend a day in each of them, and come home because I was, you know. So
both
I didn't do a whole lot of
both
Chattanooga
my brothers
stuff.
Went to school up there. So
really?
Yeah, they went to a boarding school up there called Macaulay.
And oh, nice.
Yeah, so they spent a lot of time up there. But, I mean, Signal Mountain's pretty cool. And, I mean, Lookout Mountain's, like, that's where most everybody goes. Just go see Rock City. Go see
Ruby Falls. Rock City,
Ruby
that's
Falls.
The other one I was thinking of.
You know, I mean, like, there's a lot to do
they
there.
They got a nice little aquarium up there.
The aquarium's wonderful.
Love their aquarium up there. It's a nice little walk-through aquarium, but it's done very nicely. Like, most of the small aquariums are just like, okay, here's point A. You're going to walk all the way through to point B. There's not too many different things you can venture off and do like there is at the Georgia Aquarium.
Yeah.
But it's a nice little, you can do it in a couple hours, little aquarium.
Riverwalk is also very nice, too.
In Chattanooga? So,
in Chattanooga.
I did not know
they
there
do
was
live.
One.
They do live, well, it's Tennessee River. It flows right through the heart of the city. And it's exploded. The population of Chattanooga is big time. And shoot Chris Goforth a call, man. He'll give you the whole tour.
That's right. Goforth's
he's
up there. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Maybe he'll even meet us out for dinner.
I bet he would.
So
I bet he'd love that.
Woke up yesterday morning, went to Six Flags, got there when they opened. When's the last time you've been to Six Flags?
Many
years?
It's been a long time. I'm not a big Six Flags guy.
Oh, I love Six Flags. I had to beg Tara to go. She gets motion sickness. She handled it like a freaking champ, though. She went, got the little motion sickness patches. I got a membership to Six Flags this year. I usually do, because if I'm going to go once, I'm going to get a membership. And that goes for, I get a membership to the zoo and the aquarium every year, because I know I'm going to end up going to both of those places more than once, and that'll pay for it. This is probably the fourth or fifth time I've been to Six Flags this season. Had an absolute blast.
When you say the season, does that go back to what, April?
The year, yeah. I'm not sure when they open because they're open through the end of December. They do some holiday stuff now.
They do the Halloween stuff.
So they do Halloween. Then now they do Christmas stuff. Mm. So I don't know when they close. I assume they probably close in January and reopen in like March.
I'd assume, yeah.
Because they have to close at some point, you would think. Now, if you're going to be open, I mean, because once it gets to February and it's like, that's
no
the
one's
winter.
Come, but
no one's going to show up there.
Yeah, because it's cold. And riding a roller coaster out in the open air with that cold.
Got there at 11. We were there until like 8 o'clock at night, almost. So a good nine hours.
A long day.
It was a very long day.
See, and that's the thing. It's like, I just feel like amusement parks, in my opinion, it's just hurry up and wait. And I don't like roller coasters all that much. So it's just not
this
for me.
This may be a good, so it was like 18,500 steps we put in.
Ooh.
So we never had to wait more than like 30 minutes on any one roller coaster. We went to the water park for like an hour and a half, 2 hours of that. Slides and stuff. We took the kids. Me and Coach Sammy, shout out to the Rodriguez clan. So I'm curious, maybe we'll answer this on the other side. The lines at Six Flags on a Saturday right before school starts, you would think that the place would be super jam-packed. It wasn't super jam-packed. It was just busy. And I'm wondering what the decline is of Six Flags. I think I might have the answer to that because I just think that it's funny. And it ties right into training camp and all the stuff that we're doing right now in, let's see, yep, middle of July in Georgia. And look at there. First segment's gone. Didn't have to mention the Braves. So we're going to mention them very shortly in the next segment because that's going to be Experience the Headlines. We'll be right back. Sports, let's see. The Bo Johnson Experience, Sports Radio, 910 of the Game. 910 of the Game. Jumping around a little bit up here in the Kia Studios, far above Colony Square. Garrett, I ran into a very similar traffic-y situation, and I'm kind of – I don't know if there's that big of a difference between the traffic at 6:30 or at 5:30 on a Sunday versus, I don't know, 8 on a Sunday. I don't think there should be, but – I left my house a little bit later than I wanted to, but this is usually just a 25-minute drive for me on Sunday, no matter what time that I come in here.
What part of town are you coming in?
Peachtree Corners.
Okay,
gotcha. Peachtree Industrial, 285 for like a half a mile, 85.
Gotcha.
Got on 85 all the way down to Peachtree Street down here, and traffic almost comes to a complete stop. So it takes me like 40 minutes to get down here, whereas usually it takes me like 25. I usually like getting here at like, I don't know, if I'm going on the air at 7, I like getting here at like 5:45. I want to make a nice little cut sheet. Add whatever I need to do to the rundown and whatnot, get it printed out. So today I was just a little bit rushed, just random traffic. Never passed a wreck.
Never was passed a bad wreck in the, on the connector.
That would have led me to believe there was any kind of reason for a slowdown. Just bunches of people.
Yeah.
The only thing that led me to believe and to bring up again, we have absolutely no clue what's in store for us next year when the World Cup comes to town. And the only person or people that does have a clue or those who have been in other United States cities that have hosted it. And I still don't know because most cities are laid out differently. And I'm not even sure what cities have hosted the World Cup recently. I'm sure L.A. has, but it's not like anything. So where would they have played games in L.A.? The Coliseum? So how close to that is downtown Los Angeles?
It's pretty close. I mean, it's actually in closer, right in downtown. Because it's USC.
The traffic in LA is not good either.
Oh, it's terrible.
I don't know which is actually worse, Atlanta or Los Angeles. They both suck as far as we all know.
Yeah.
I can imagine being in LA when they host the World Cup is pretty much a big blank show.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
Here, with traffic on a random Tuesday being twice as bad as just the normal flow of traffic, and when I say that, like, it takes me an hour to get down here on Tuesdays, whereas on a normal day, it takes me 30 minutes. We have zero clue what we're getting ourselves into as being the city. Like, we are, it's going to be good for the city. There's going to be millions of dollars raised, but goodness gracious, man. It's going to be insane.
I can't wait for the Europeans or whomever. They're going to go like place like Boston or something, and they're going to book their spot. They're hosting, I don't know how many matches they're hosting up there, but Foxborough is where they're actually, Gillette Stadium.
And they're going to go to downtown. That's
and they're going to be like, oh, we're going to go to Boston. This is great. And then they realize they're about an hour away from Foxborough.
Wow, is that how far away Foxborough
is? 45 minutes
from
to an hour.
Boston, like
it's
downtown Boston.
Way. In Santa Clara.
That's
I mean, like,
same as San Francisco. Yeah,
yeah, same. Very similar to that.
And well, now Texas.
Away. Yeah.
Or Dallas.
Yeah,
because
Dallas
metro area.
Yeah, they're going to be very similar. Very, very similar.
Huh. All right, well, that's enough about traffic and whatnot. I did have a short little story I wanted to ask you about. We'll save that for another segment. Let's go ahead and get to some headlines here. Welcome to Atlanta is what we are going to be saying to about, let's see, what was the last known count of residents in Atlanta, like 8 million? Probably going to welcome in 8 more million people when the World Cup comes here in 2026. So, would be remiss if we didn't mention the Braves. We have to. Grant on the way out, he's like, hey, man, I just talked Braves for 2 hours. He didn't have to. Well, Grant, this is the only segment they're probably going to get. Lots of football happening this week. Falcons training camp got started on Thursday. Everybody was out there on Thursday. Mike and Dylan were out there today and maybe yesterday. I know it's today. Lots of media days going on. SEC media days were 2 weeks ago. Big Ten media days were this week. Going to let you hear some James Franklin audio a little bit later because he's just mad at stuff. Not our fault. Your people don't show up. There was there have been some baseball happenings happening, though. So, look, I'm going to mention the weekend series. Braves Rangers, and I'm only going to do it for one reason. I'm going to get to that reason in a minute. So Joey Wentz, 4 1/3, 3 earned runs. Joey Wentz is probably going to start more games for the Braves in the near future. Montero, 1 1/3, gives up 4. This is Friday. This is the game that first game we get beat. Sweet, by the way. Michael Harris is second. 2 for 3 with his 8th home run. 1 RBI, 2 runs, 1 walk. Saturday, Rangers 6, Braves 5. I don't know how many one-run games that is that we've lost. 30. This one was Grant Holmes, who was, up until today, a regular starter. One of the 3 that we had. And that's if you consider Bryce Elder a regular starter. And he's only kind of been a regular starter by default, which now he's going to continue to be. But Grant Holmes was not great. 4 innings pitch, 4 earned runs. Michael Harris the second. 4 for 4, home run, double, 2 triples, 2 RBIs, 3 runs scored. All right? Michael Harris the second had the opportunity to hit for the cycle, goes for a second triple instead. Now, I say he had the opportunity to. People were saying, you know, Terry even said to me, why wouldn't he just stop on first and get the cycle? Well, they were losing. So, I believe they did take the lead in that game to only to have the lead blown, and then they went in extra innings and whatnot. But I'm pretty sure that when Mike hit that second triple, the game was either tied or they were behind. Had they had a big lead, maybe you do something like that, but this is baseball. You try to get as many bases as you can. 2 triples. He's now in the top 5 in MLB in triples on the season. Oh, yeah. Grant Holmes, who started that game, placed on the IL today with right elbow inflammation. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All 5 starters on the opening day roster have now hit IL or are now on IL. Spencer Strider was not on the opening day roster or in the opening day rotation. All 5 on the IL right now. That sucks. Before I get to pitching and our pitching woes, today, Sunday, Rangers 8, Braves 1, Bryce Elder 2 2/3, 8 earned runs. Now, give it up for the bullpen, who did pitch over 6 innings, didn't give up anything. But those guys are being taxed and taxed and taxed and taxed, and this cannot go on. Braves did make a move today. Get to that in a second. Michael Harris the second today. 2 for 4. Not much else. Michael Harris the second has his average up to 228 on the season. He's over 400 since the All-Star break, though. Too little, too late. Well, it is too late, but it's not too little. And this is just to be like that. And this is baseball. This is why we can't just. No, look, I know people have given up on this season. This season is only going to be. You can only go down to Turner Field, Truist Park for the rest of the season and look for good baseball games to happen, which they will. There will be lots of good baseball games happening. To see the offense coming kind of out of whatever it was they were in. Olsen's been out of it for a minute. Riley didn't start in it, but now he's kind of going through a little something. Riley's still producing, just came off the IL himself. Michael Harris starting to turn around, starting to turn more into the rookie of the year from 4 years ago, and starting to get closer to his career average, which is in the 260s. He's a good baseball player, starting to show that now. Did make some adjustments in the break. It's paid off, so... Keep hitting, Mikey. All we can hope is that the pitching staff's healthy at the beginning of the season. Now, what is the pitching staff going to look? I have no idea. One of those pitchers, Jesse Chavez, announced his retirement last week or this week. I hate to see Jesse go. I hope Jesse stays around and becomes a coach with this organization. Jesse Chavez is a hell of a human being. Met him on several occasions. He has great hats. He's one of the ones that always shows up to those player functions that they'll have at the ballpark. Because a lot of the players don't show up to those things. When they have functions that the players and their families can come to, they'll have like a holiday one, and they'll have like a random welcome back to the season one. Jesse always shows up. I've had the privilege to work a lot of those as I do work for the food and beverage company Delaware North at Truist Park. So I bartend for a lot of these functions. Jesse's a hell of a person. Congratulations on your retirement, Jesse. Like 20 years, like 9 baseball teams. Those numbers may be slightly off, but that's not the biggest part of the story. Braves do make a move today, acquire Eric Fetty from the St. Louis Cardinals. I think it was the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm not sure where Fetty was in the rotation for the Cardinals or if he was even a starter up there because they haven't been having the best season I can guarantee you he's probably going to start whenever his time was going to come up in the rotation for the Atlanta Braves coming up pretty soon.
He had been DFA'd by the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh, okay.
So it was just sort of like a...
So they scooped him off waivers. So they still owe them something because it was a player or cash. Mm-hmm. Probably going to end up being cash. 100 grand or so, something, whatever. It's, the Cardinals have to pay his entire salary. So he was not in their rotation, just been DFA'd. Eric Fetty's going to start very soon for the Cardinals. Another guy that has been in some appearances the last couple of weeks, Dane Dunning, who was acquired from the Rangers in a similar move. He'll be starting here pretty soon, I would imagine. Braves trying to get him stretched out. So you're asking what we may be acquiring at the trade deadline. Well, the pieces that we've been telling you are probably going to be moved, Marcel, Iggy. Pierce Johnson still has another year of team control, so we'll see what they do there. But that he is a guy that people are going to want. Pierce has done okay, just like Iggy. And nobody's going to want either of these guys to be a closer, but look at what the Los Angeles Dodgers do every freaking trade deadline. They bring in a closer going through turmoil, or a closer on a bad team who's not going to need him for the rest of the season because they're not going to win a whole lot of games. That's kind of where we are. And they stick him in there in the seventh inning in the playoffs. I can guarantee you that's where Iggy's going to be headed, maybe Pierce Johnson too. What are we going to be getting back, though? The best we can hope for is a controllable piece that can handle big league innings for the rest of the season. You need people to come in and get you through the rest of the season. Fetty had 1 year left on his. He's a free agent, unrestricted free agent at the end of the season, and we just brought him in. And you may be asking, why would you bring him? He's like a 32. Why would you bring that guy in? Because we got nobody to finish the season as far as starting pitchers go. And you may see a couple more moves like this. The best case scenario for the trade deadline for this team, bring in somebody. If you can get any pitcher that's 25 or so that's ready to make big league starts, he didn't have to be 25. That's best case scenario because the only other option I'm thinking is going to be older. You're not going to get a whole lot of controllable young guys that can also come up and pitch right now. That's the thing. You can go get prospect number 22 from whatever first or second place team that's going to make a run. But unless they're ready to pitch in the big leagues right now, you're probably not going to have that happen. And that just is blown up even more by now Grant Holmes hitting the IL. You can't just tax the bullpen, or now you're going to get those guys' shoulders and elbows hurt. And then going into next season, what are you going to be looking at? I think Schwelly, Ronaldo, Lopez, Chris Sale probably pitch again before the end of the season. Grant was talking about this on my way in. You do that, one, because they're going to want to pitch, and also, two, because you don't want them going into the offseason just rehabbing. If they can get back to big league condition before they hit the offseason and begin their offseason regimen, then that's what you want them to do headed into spring training as, you know, a normal offseason is how you might put it. Get them back to where if Sale only makes one start for the rest of the season, rehabs, whatever he needs to do and makes one start, and he's back to kind of starting form, that's what you want going into next season, right? That's what you want going into the offseason. So we'll see. We let it happen again. Braves just ate up that entire segment. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk a little fantasy football next. We're all going to talk some Falcons. I got a lot of audio from Falcons training camp, from training camp all over the league. Experience the NFL is going to be happening at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. We are going to do the weekly rewind as well. I'm going to pack all of that with some Falcons training camp talk and some audio for you, because I know you're excited about the 2025 Falcons season. I'm going to finish up our talk on the 10 ways you can make your fantasy football league more fun. I'm going to invite Garrett in on this conversation. I'm going to give you my case for Brock Bowers being drafted in the first round as well. Then ESPN just posted an article today, red flag players worth drafting. Christian McCaffrey was featured in that article. Where should Christian McCaffrey be drafted? I'm going to get to that next. Give me 5 minutes. The Bo Johnson Experience on Sports Radio, 99 The Game. Sports Radio, 99 The Game. Welcome back to The Experience. I am Bo Johnson. Number is 404-726-0929. If you want to chime in, you can text us. You can call us. Talking a little bit of Braves. Talking some Falcons. Some fantasy football. That's what this next segment's going to be. We do have Experience the NFL. It's going to be coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. Then we're going to do the weekly rewind, where if there's anything NFL-related, we don't get to there. But there's a lot of stuff that, you know, I ended up getting into these Braves conversations and just didn't get to other stuff. but I'd kind of be remiss if I did not mention what may be the biggest story of the week this week, and that was the passing of the immortal Hulk Hogan. Look, whatever your feelings are about Hulk Hogan, I would just ask you to try to look at it like this. All right? There's Hulk Hogan, the wrestler. Then there's Terry Bollea, who was the human being. All right? And this dude was a scumbag in a lot of rights. All right? Now, he did do his fair share of charity work, work for the fans, stuff like that. But he also had some pretty pretty sleazy comments that he made 10 years ago. And that's probably even a modest word, sleazy. So, you know, and look, the fans let him hear it when he made his appearance on Monday Night Raw, the first Raw that moved to Netflix. He came out trying to slang his beer, and he was booed out of the freaking arena. But you can't just ignore the accomplishments. And when I say accomplishments, that's kind of a lighter way of taking it. It wasn't just accomplishments. He was, like, if there's a Mount Rushmore of professional wrestlers, you could put him on there twice, maybe even all four times. Nobody had a bigger impact ever, and probably will never have a bigger impact than this man did on the sport of professional wrestling. And there's a lot of professional wrestlers that have sounded out because they didn't like the guy and whatever. That's fine. But you wouldn't have your job if it wasn't for this guy. There were a lot of guys, you know, WWE did a tribute on Friday Night SmackDown to Hogan, 10 bell ring salute, whatever. There were a lot of guys that seemed disinterested and whatever. And I can understand if you didn't like Terry Bollea or Hulk Hogan as a person, but to ignore what he accomplished in the ring and to say that, like, wrestling would not be anything where it is today without what he did then. And he even brought wrestling to the forefront in two separate, generations, maybe? Because when you go back to WrestleMania 1, that was 82, 83? He would go on to headline 7 of the first 8 WrestleManias. WrestleMania 3 was the one in the Pontiac Silverdome. They packed 80,000 people in there. That was Hogan Slams Andre. He brought wrestling, even WWF at the time, from being, you know, a small market, you know, little indie scene wrestling organization to the forefront of the sports entertainment world. He was all over Carson, all over shows, movies, Thunder Lips. Then again, in the 90s, when Hogan made his heel turn, the biggest heel turn ever, will always be the biggest heel turn ever, forming the NWO with Hall and Nash, the Outsiders. The Monday Night Wars and WCW beating WWE for 80 straight weeks happened because of him. But without that, wrestling doesn't reemerge to the forefront of sports entertainment world again. So in two different generations, and now is, you know, one of the best times. Now Vince has been, you know, pushed out as he should have been of WWE. Triple H is writing storyboards, in charge of booking and all that now. It's a great time to be a professional wrestling fan. So I get it. If you don't want to celebrate the life of Hulk Hogan, you need to at least celebrate the accomplishments that he made. And you don't have to celebrate Terry Bollea at all. But, you know, as a wrestling fan, still in my 40s, so I just never, you know, stopped watching. But it's just like any TV show that you watch as a kid. Sometimes you've been watching it still. Like The Simpsons have been on since I was in 7th freaking grade. That's just nuts. A lot of people watch The Simpsons as a kid and still watch The Simpsons as an adult. Same thing with professional wrestling or any other TV show that's been on for a very long time. Get you out what you got. Oh, having some headphone issues. Can't have nothing nice around here, brother. I'll tell you what. So Dom and I had a conversation of a 10 ways to make your fantasy football league more fun. We had this over the last couple of weeks. We made all the way through to the last couple, and Garrett, I will go back over a couple of them because you have a pretty knowledgeable brain about fantasy football. A few of them were easy, and if you have any thoughts on them, so this is an article done by who wrote this? Daniel Dopp, who does fantasy content for ESPN. 10 ways to make your fantasy football league more fun. I just wanted to go through the list and see if I agreed with most of them or any of them. And I kind of do. And then we kind of talked about them. But increasing the number of the teams in your league is an obvious one. 8-team leagues, if you're playing in one of those, so super
they don't count.
Freaking deep.
Eight team,
that
eight
every
team
team's going to be,
don't
you know,
count.
That's going to be stacked. The number you want to look for is no less than 10, but 12 to me is the perfect number. I'm in some 14 and 16 team leagues too. Those are just the ones that get average. Like, I'm just going to be in one fantasy football league. You got no business probably playing in a 14 or a 16 team league. You're going to get mad because you have to pay too much attention to it. You got to know a lot about the depth of leagues. 12 is a good number.
I'm in one that's, I think it's 16 or it's 18. I got to double check, but it is very difficult because at that point, like, you draft, if you lose like one of the guys who like in the first five rounds, or like somebody else doesn't like pop off like very late in the draft, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, and you're
like,
starting guys on those over. In those leagues that are literally the wide receiver three on their team, not necessarily a wide receiver three as we classify it in fantasy football.
If you get a flex guy in those leagues who can get you
8 points, maybe.
Yeah,
that's great.
You're in great shape.
You do drafts with a salary cap, right?
No, I've actually
never
done
those. Salary cap or
no,
like an auction?
I don't like the auction style.
Really?
I think it's a little too much.
Well, it may be. Now, you kind of have to read up on how it's done, because what a lot of people do when they get to auctions is they get afraid to spend their money, and then by the time the draft's halfway over,
you're spending
there's
a lot
one
of money
team
on
that's
Isaiah
loaded.
Pacheco.
Yeah, and you're overspending on guys because
exactly.
There's nobody left.
And you're desperate.
I like an auction because it gives everybody the opportunity to bid on everybody. Mm-hmm. As opposed to one guy gets this person because he had number one overall pick, and then so on and so forth. So, kickers and defenses, I think we probably feel the same way about kickers. I know, not sure about team defenses, but kickers and team defenses should have gone away a long time ago in fantasy football. Kickers just don't do it, as far as I'm concerned. Team defenses, I would much rather trade that in for individual defensive players. Super flex, I love a super flex. The quarterback position now is pretty deep, as opposed to where it was. And it's always been pretty deep. That's why we tell you to wait on a quarterback, because you can wait till very late, still get a good guy. Now, there are some elite quarterbacks in the top, like, four or five of these guys that I would probably draft in the fifth round, but probably no earlier. Your Lamar's, your Josh Allen's. Pat Mahomes isn't even in that conversation anymore. Maybe Jaden Daniels, maybe Jalen Hurts. Those might be the four guys that I would say draft those guys fifth, sixth round. If you don't get any of those guys, wait. Just wait to the 10th, 11th round, draft you a Jared Goff or even a Patrick Mahomes. That's probably where he's going to end up these days. Do love a super flex. Did I say that one? Yeah, I did. Tight end premium. I don't have any leagues that do this. Not a fan of it anymore because tight end is deeper than it's probably ever been, which is going to deflate the next little conversation I have. Number of IR slots. I do like having a lot of IR slots. But increasing it, I don't see how that makes it any more fun. It just makes it to where if you do get a bunch of guys hurt, you don't have to drop key guys on your team, or you have to drop those guys that are on IR. But
I would actually be on the other end of that. I would rather have fewer.
You like having to
make tough decisions. It's part of fantasy football.
It is. You're right.
You know, you have to make some tough spots. You know, I mean, like it's the nature of the game.
How about Fab?
I like Fab.
Love Fab.
I
there should
Fab.
Be no more rolling waivers. Fab should be the way that
Fab
it's
is the best way to do it.
Adding a keeper element or doing a dynasty, I 100% am in love with dynasty leagues in fantasy football. It is the very best.
My dynasty league is the best thing that I do. We just did our rookie draft, and
it
changes everything.
There's nothing better than being able to run your own team, but then you don't want to just throw it in the trash at the end of the year. You get to keep the core, or in some leagues, we keep our entire team. You just can't, when you do your draft, you got to make cuts. You know, I love a dynasty. It's the closest thing to actually owning a NFL football franchise.
Yeah.
And you get to run it that way.
And it's cool. And that's the thing. And like, you can ride the waves. Like, I won a championship a few years ago with my team. And then the team was aging out, and it was time to move on. So I sold some pieces, and now I'm finally back to potentially competing again this year. So
you're in one dynasty?
I have one dynasty.
So
I think
this is the team
emotionally
that you ended up trading
one.
For the 101 this season,
that
right?
That was this one.
To draft
Genty? And then I got Omarion Hampton with the second pick. So I had pick one and pick two. So I might have
you ended up trading.
Totally
wow.
Yeah.
You ended up with 101 and 102?
Yeah, and then I got Trey Harris top of the second round too. So I am in tremendous shape.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Nice job.
And that's something that might actually change. If both of those guys hit, and if both of those guys are the players that I think they're going to be.
Genty should be.
Genty is going to be a beast.
Like, the only reason why Genty should not be or will not be is if he gets hurt or he just ends up sucking at football. The opportunity, the situation that Genty's in.
Yeah.
Knowing his head coach. Knowing
redraft,
the improved.
Redraft leagues. He's probably going in the top 20.
Top five. Oh, yeah.
Easy.
Top five. of running backs. He should definitely still be probably in the top 10 overall.
Probably.
Because you don't have a lot of running backs with that opportunity. The only thing, and look, it sounds crazy when I say this, but the closest thing that I can see the Ash and Jinty workload to being is Adrian Peterson's rookie season.
Ooh, wow. Okay. Yeah, but I traded the farm.
Adrian Peterson in his rookie season was a top five draft pick, though we knew nothing about him in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You look at Ash and Jinty, you look at who his head coach is, Pete Carroll, you look at who their quarterbacks were last year based on the fact they have Geno Smith this year, that's going to help. He does not have a lot of targets to throw to, though. You got Jacoby freaking, what's his name?
Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, Jacoby Myers, Brock Bowers. Then it's going to be Jinty. There's also nobody behind him. So the opportunity for this kid on a team that where the head coach that wants to run the football with a quarterback that's not going to throw it all over the place for 300 yards a game, he's probably going to total out about 3,500 for the season, enough to stretch the field to where the you're not going to have the box loaded up on him, but he's still got he catches passes out of the backfield. I'm telling you, man, Ash and Jinty is going to blow it up this season.
It's going to be great. But dynasty leagues are so much different. You got to be in a group of people who, you know, they care about it. You know, and because if you have anybody who sells on it, like where they just kind of just are super passive, it's just not very fun, you know, and it kind of ruins the league for a lot of people. And I mean, I think every league is going to have one or two guys who are kind of just a little bit more quiet or passive, or maybe they won't make trades, or maybe they forget to set the roster or lineup or whatever. It happens in every league.
That's a pain in the butt.
It's a pain in the butt, but it is especially bad in a dynasty because every single little thing matters and it affects you for years down the road.
And see, so also...
But it's so fun.
So, dynasties... Oh, I lost my train of thought here. So, what do you do to prevent that? What you were just talking about is somebody making crazy moves or just completely just losing it on their team then not playing the next season. That can be the biggest pain in the ass thing as far as the dynasty goes. Somebody can wreck a season for another team by making bad trades or colluding with another team, knowing they're headed out. You know, and just dishing. Now, that would be the only circumstance that I would say that trade vetoes should be allowed, and that should be done by the commissioner, not by a league vote.
No, there's somebody in our league who has been able to take advantage of a lot of bad trades and people moving out. And this guy's team, I can show you his team in the break. It is, your jaw will hit the floor. He still hasn't won. But your jaw will hit the floor.
But you're making it to the dance every season is really what you want to do in any fantasy football league. And 100%. If you have a team good enough to get you there.
Last year was the first year I didn't make the playoffs.
Here's my solution.
And I got pick 1 and 2 in the next draft.
And this could eliminate a lot of what we're talking about, but probably not all. Money up front, man. Money up front for
always
next season.
Always up front.
No, money up front for next season.
Oh.
Like credit card on file.
Oh.
Look, I have a dynasty league. We've been around since 2007. 2007.
2007. Hey, man, 2007 counts.
But I've had very little turnover in this league. I would say, if I had to guess, I've probably got 6 original members still there.
How about that?
And we have not flipped not one manager change in probably the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, we have a wait list on ours.
Yeah,
I think we have 5 guys.
Have people.
We have 5 guys who we would shoo in. So I think people know that it's like if you leave, you're gone. Like, and you're not getting back in.
Yeah,
it's not happening.
You definitely got to get money ahead of all drafts in every fantasy football league, even redrafts. Don't make your commissioner chase you down. Pay the money up front.
Always.
In leagues that, you know, you require dues because gambling's illegal in Georgia. But yeah, man, if you got people that are serious about a dynasty, you know they're gonna be there. They should have no issues. Now you don't have to charge a card. But there should be some way or form or fashion that we can say, hey, Dynasty League, card info for next season in the event. Now, I know things happen to where, I don't know, bank accounts go broke and people make bad investment choices and close credit cards and stuff like that. But that is a start to the solution of what we were kind of talking about there. That is the where we have to go. All right, well, we're out of time and I didn't get to. Look, Brock Bowers is going to be very good in fantasy football this season. Last year, He eclipsed numbers that Travis Kelce, not only in his first 2 seasons, but have never gotten. Travis Kelce has never, if I'm not mistaken, had a 1,200. He had a 13, 14. There was a number that Brock Bowers, Travis Kelce has 4 years over 1,200 yards. There was a number that Brock Bowers had last year that Kelce has still never done. I thought it was yards in a season. It was not that. Maybe it was catches. Something like that. I don't know. Yeah, it was number of catches. Travis Kelce's, like Brock Bowers had like 120 catches last year. The most Travis Kelce's ever had is 110 and he's only gotten past 100 catches three times in his career. And he was an absolute beast to the tune of drafting him in the first round 3 years ago because of the positional advantage you would get by drafting a tight end that would score seven more points per game than everybody else. That's where Brock Bowers is headed. I didn't get a whole lot of time to give you some numbers apart as far as that logic and reasoning goes, but I will at some point. We got to go. Experience the NFL is next. Bo Johnson Experience on Sports Radio 99 The Game.